A very good afternoon. You're with the Late Lunch on LMFM. Thank you very much for your company once more this afternoon. We have lots of chat for you as usual on the show, and I'll just give you the numbers at the start if you want to join in. 1850 715 958. You can call us on that number at any stage, or the text number is 53958. It'll cost you 20 cents thanks to eMobile and Aircom. Or if you want to get in touch with us, we're open for business on Facebook as usual. Late Lunch is the joining on code there, and you can send us an email to latelunch@lmfm.ie. Now, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be joined by the Kelly Melia family from Oldcastle in County Meath, and we're going to be talking about a situation they find themselves in, where their young son Luke is not going to school at the moment because of an issue with his assistance dog. That's a little bit later. But today on the show, my first guest is making a return visit. Previously, he gave us his controversial take on who really dictates what happens in Ireland and the world, and what's behind the global turmoil we're experiencing at this time. To reflect on what's happened since his last visit and speculate what's in store, I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Robert Pye. Robert, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Gerry.
Thanks for joining me. Now, before we begin, the last couple of times you're with us, we met you first in 2009 and again last year, you highlighted among a range of issues the fact that a small ruling elite controls the entire world, including Ireland. You mentioned the Masonic symbols in Dublin, and you did flag to us back in 2009 when it was just really sort of starting up, the impending disaster that was coming in this country. So those are issues that we've, among them, a range of others that we've touched on previously. Can I begin today by talking to you about, I know the last time you were with us, you are a former employee of the Department of Finance.
I am, yes.
And you spent 31 years.
31 years, yes.
In there, and you were through good times and bad, I suppose, is fair to say.
That's
Robert.
That's right, yeah.
But you were a gentleman who raised the flag within the Department of Finance on a number of occasions when everything was rocking and rolling, so to speak,
right,
during the
yes.
Celtic Tiger. Can I begin by asking you, did that fall on barren ground, as the Bible would say?
Yes, those seeds fell on barren ground, and the birds of the air devoured them. What happened was, at the start of 04, my wife came into a small amount of money and asked me, Robert, would you invest this for me? I knew nothing about how the markets worked. Well, a little, but not much. So I began to read. And as I read, I kept reading because I could not believe what I was finding. There was a massive gap between the picture I was getting and the general picture given in the media, and also within government circles. There was a huge... I mean, I had wondered, am I looking at the same world as these people are looking at? And I then decided to alert people by setting down what I saw was coming and how and why it was coming and the impact it would have. And I sent these papers around on a private and personal basis to about a dozen people, most of them well-placed within finance. They didn't want to know. I tried it again. A few months later, more detailed paper, more detail covering the world scene, because I looked at it from the world stage. If I tried to comment on the work of other sections within finance, I'd have been trodden on. You can't do that. So I had to find a way of getting this message out that wouldn't cause me to be silenced. And the way I did was to look at the world stage and comment in that context. And that gave me plenty of scope because I could see the credit crunch coming. And at the end of 05, I was saying we'd be in a credit crunch by the end of 08. And this would have an immense impact. And in fact, if you want to go and see my papers, they are on the net. I did 7 in all. And those 7 were done in 04 and 05. And because nobody was listening to me, I could not get anybody to take this seriously. I was quite mad with them because I was upset. I could see what was coming and the turmoil it would cause the Irish people. And, you know, it would hit the little person hard. So I made a final attempt in January of 07. And I wrote a very long article, a detailed article, which I wanted to send to the Irish Times, spelling out what was coming and looking at it from the context of the global scene. And I was also flagging the fact that the big powers are getting ready to build up for World War III, that is something they're going to do later on. But before that, there's going to be this massive economic crunch. And out of courtesy and perhaps foolishness, I showed it to my seniors within finance, say, look, will you have any problem if I send this in? And they shouldn't have. But I received an official letter from them saying, you can't send it.
You were stopped.
I was blocked, yes.
So you were silenced as such?
That's a way of putting it, probably a bit strong. Let's say I was utterly ignored. Now, behind the scenes and off the record, there were two or three well-placed people who said they agreed with me.
But why didn't they stand up?
Nobody wants to stand up and be heard, because if you do, you will be trodden on. One person came to me and he said he did confront the top people on an issue that I don't know what the issue was.
Who are you talking about? The secretary of the department? Minister?
I'm not naming names. I'm just saying he got so badly hammered. He said, I wouldn't do it again.
But you write, and I read about it as well, and this is a thing that's caught my eye. I want to read this to listeners. And I quote you here, the department had no vision of its own for Ireland, nor any sense of the dangers lurking in the deep waters. It had ceased to stand as a bulwark between the people and the politicians, and had become instead an obedient arm of government with no mind of its own. Those are strong words.
I stand over every word. Sadly, but true.
So, in other words, the people we employ who are there all the time as our guardians in the department, regardless of what politician or government comes or goes, rolled over, capitulated, say what you like,
in
to
that,
the whims of the political
in
classes.
In that 10-year period. Now, in their defence, I would add, there was no opposition in the Dáil. Nobody in the Dáil was challenging the government on its policies.
So in other words, the crew we have now in government, the Labour Fine Gael amalgam,
exactly,
sat
exactly
on the benches, and they now have the reins. But
and now they are providing, quote, leadership, unquote. I mean, this is bizarre, but that's what the Irish people chose. The Irish people have not woken up yet to the fact that they've been led up the garden path, and they have had 300 billion taken from them by the international banking elite.
Since you were here 12 months ago, a lot has happened. As you say, the IMF have come in. The ECB were dependent on Beethoven too as well now. We've had a change of government, of course, and Fianna Fáil were sent to the wilderness, and we have the new old crew in.
Yeah, well, you haven't had a change of the real government. The real government still governs.
Who is the real government?
The same people who run Europe. It's the international banking system and elite, and then they have the Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, secret society system. All the things that matter are decided behind closed doors.
And are you telling me that Enda Kenny and his ilk in Labour and Fine Gael, or no matter who occupies those seats in Leinster House, are puppets?
Well, you use the word puppet. Let's say I can't see them doing anything that the international elite don't want done. And I don't see anybody standing up to the international elite. You got a very good example there recently with the 2012 budget, where the Bundestag, the German government, the German parliament, saw the details of our budget before our parliament saw it. What is going on? We've lost our sovereignty. And the Irish people, they're not standing up. They're not angry at what has happened. They've lost the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. And that, we're not just speaking about an economic collapse, we're speaking about a moral collapse.
And is this a plan? Is this?
Yes. These guys want world government. They want to set up a one world government. And they have been quite open about this. George Bush gave his famous speech back in 1991 about a new world order. They want the New World Order. And the New World Order involves the dissolution of independent sovereign states.
And that's what we're experiencing in Ireland.
That's what's happening. Now, Angela Merkel there has said several times in the last few months that they'll solve the problems of Europe provided they give up sovereignty. And that's Merkel's message. And she's the mouthpiece for the elite, the people who are running Europe.
So you're saying to me, and I've mentioned this before, that really it's a Germanic takeover without a bullet being fired.
It is. Germany, well, Berlin, Brussels, London. And these people also run the US and have a parallel program going in the US to bring it down. They're going to have huge social unrest in Europe and in the States in the coming years. It will begin with economic unrest. Then they're stirring up affairs in the Middle East. You'll very likely have an oil crisis. We've had a credit crunch. We will now head into an oil crunch. And that will create real economic pain. So they want to create severe conditions, conditions which are severe enough to get people to willingly give up their sovereignty in order to have the problem solved. And the solution the elite will offer is a one world currency, one world bank, a one world government. Now, they won't go straight into the world government system. They'll go into a regional government system. So you'll have a United States of Europe. You'll have a North American Union. In fact, George Bush signed an agreement with Canada and Mexico in 2004 about the creation of a North American Union. And there was very little in the media about it. They will have a South American Union. They will have China as an independent entity. They'll have sub-Saharan Africa. In all, you're going to have 10 global regions. And oddly enough, and this is amazing, and when I saw it, I was really taken aback. The Book of Revelation and the Book of Daniel speak about, in the end time, the existence globally of 10 kingdoms. And it seems that that's what it's shaping up at as. So I see a lot happening here. And I've spoken with people, mostly Catholics, about their understanding of Bible prophecy. They know nothing about it. I've spoken with various other groups, Protestants and Lutherans and so on, and they have only a vague notion of it. People should study this. And I think when I came on first in February or March 09, I did say, go back and study chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, because you are heading into the time zone, as I see it. Now, I'm not saying we're heading towards the end of the world, but we're getting into that very intense area where things will move rapidly.
How can, or is it fruitless even trying to contemplate how we in Ireland can save ourselves or prevent this happening? Is it possible, Robert, or has it gone beyond that?
I do believe it is possible because, well, with God, all things are possible. But the problem is people have turned their backs on God and they rely on their own power. And then they look at their own power and say, I can do nothing. I've spoken with so many people about this and they say, but what can I do? You know, I can just do my job and pay my bills and just hope things work out. Well, that is not good enough. I mean, we are complicit in all crimes we don't condemn. And people are not condemning these crimes. 300 billion has been stolen from the Irish people.
Want to take a quick break? Robert Pye is with us on Late Lunch. Would you like to make a comment? 1850 715 958. Pick up the phone and call us now, or you can text us through to 53958. Robert Pye is with us on Late Lunch this afternoon. Robert, can we say no to the IMF and the ECB and this ceding of sovereignty, or is it too late?
We can say no, but it's not a matter of leadership. You have the leaders you deserve. What you really need is to get angry about what has happened. Recognise that a crime has been committed against the Irish people, that the Irish nation is under attack by the people who run Europe. And if you are angry and if you do get back into a right relationship with the Lord and have a sense of right and wrong and good and evil, then enough people will get angry and the right leaders will emerge. And they will then be able to stand up to the elite.
Can we survive without the monetary subvention?
Well, look at Iceland now. They are about 350,000 people. The a group of British and Dutch banks tried to get 4 billion plus out of the Icelandic people, and the government of Iceland wanted to give it to them. The people of Iceland were up in arms. They said, no, absolutely not. They had a referendum. They threw out that government. They put in a proper government. And they said no to the Brits and the Dutch. Go to hell. We owe you nothing. And that's what Ireland should say. Go to hell.
And Iceland has fared okay, hasn't it?
Iceland seems to have survived reasonably well. It takes courage to stand up to superpowers who are screwing you and really taking all of your wealth. An interesting fact, now I don't know what bearing this has on it, but a very wealthy Chinese businessman offered Iceland the option of selling him 1,000 acres in northern Iceland for something that he called a leisure centre, something of that order. The Icelandic people did not immediately say no. They waited a little while. And if you think about it, neither the Brits, the Americans, nor the Germans want to see China with a base in the North Atlantic. So that's the kind of game you have to play with these people. You need to find somebody who can tap them on the shoulder and say, you touch this little guy, you'll have to deal with us. And the Irish people have no leaders, certainly no one has emerged, who has the ability to stand up and recognise, stand shoulder to shoulder against the bullies. And unless the Irish people themselves wake up, it will not happen.
A guy called Neil Ferguson published a very interesting article in the Sunday Times a few weeks back. I read it. You saw it yourself.
I did, yes.
He touched on some very...
Well, you see, Neil Ferguson is a very brilliant man. He's an insider's insider. This is the guy who knows what's going on. He's the official biographer to the Rothschilds. So that's how well in he is.
Are they one of the families that you would reckon?
Yes, they're one. There are a whole load of them. A number of them you wouldn't have heard of, but certainly they'd be one of the better known ones. I would like to comment a little later, perhaps, on the elites, the super wealthy families, because they are the people running it all. But Ferguson pointed out, in a kind of slightly tongue-in-cheek mode, but in this article he was saying it as he sees it. And it's written from the point of view of somebody in the year 2616, looking back at Europe and saying how we got to where we are. And where were they? They had a United States of Europe. They had a Nordic Union of Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Norway. And then they had the Union of Britain and Ireland. And that would seem to be how the elite see this shaping up. They want a unified Europe. Now, if it means having the Nordic Union and a Union of Britain and Ireland, that's still much the same thing in their eyes. The same, they'll have the kind of tenth kingdom, if you like.
So after all the loss of life since the early part of the previous century, the centuries before, the fighting, the settlement with Britain, what are you saying to me?
I'm saying to you, the Irish people look like they're going to do what their minds have been conditioned to accept, namely, sovereignty is gone. We need to get under the umbrella of some powerful entity, and the elite will probably offer a choice between Berlin and London, and the Irish people will then have to decide. I can see the Irish press in the coming year and a half, publishing articles along the lines of, well, should we really think about getting back into the Commonwealth? And would it be in our interest perhaps not to, you know, pursue our sovereignty and risk a certain amount of economic pain? Or should we try to mitigate this pain and give up our sovereignty and allow London or Berlin to rule here? And people will go for the soft option.
Can we go it alone? Can we survive alone? Can we regain our sovereignty? Can we exist as an Irish nation within this world?
We can. But it takes leadership, and it takes people who have a real sense of moral values, people who can tell the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. You must remember, we have a generation now where the kids growing up know more about witchcraft than they do about the Bible. These kids, they've read the 7 Harry Potter books. These are foundation courses in the occult. Our children know more about the occult and evil than they do about good. And their parents think this is normal. This vampire series, the Twilight series, and they're more than coming out. This is all dark, dark, dark. And you have people who are corrupt in their hearts. And if you're corrupt in your heart, you can't tell the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. And the people who are running the show can run rings around.
How is this happened? We know what's happened in the formal church, the main church, the bedrock of this society in Ireland, the Catholic Church, what it's gone through.
Yeah.
And do you blame parents of the current generations for not, you know, teaching children right from wrong? You know, what's happened in the church?
The parents can't teach the children right and wrong because the parents have lost it. You know, if people knew right from wrong, they would be intensely angry about what has happened. They are not angry because they can't tell the difference. Do you see? They've been brought up to think right and wrong, they're relative values, that they are cultural. It doesn't occur to people that they are created beings, the Creator has laws, and if you violate the laws, you pay the penalty. Instead, they have been conditioned to think, oh, this is cultural and, you know, times change and we have to be tolerant. Nice is the new good. You know, if you ask, well, what are the people over there like? They say, oh, they're nice. They're nice people. But you never hear somebody say, he's a godly person, a righteous person, a just person. No. The ultimate accolade today is to be nice and to be liked.
But are you saying to people that the church in the 40s, 50s, 60s, into the 70s was difficult? It was difficult, Robert. You know, you don't want that again. You don't want people to feel oppressed.
Yeah, but that is part of the problem. They weren't really taught the Bible then. It was controlled by a different city rather than being controlled by London and Berlin. In those days, you were controlled by Rome. You know, I want people to think in terms of not being controlled at all. Rather, you look towards what the Lord says is right and what is wrong. I just actually, out of interest, drew up a list of four facts which are stunning about the Catholic Church. I looked at its catechism. Now, this sets down its doctrines. Verse 8:4:1, speaking about Islam now, and the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, which isn't true, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge, on the last day. That's utterly false. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The God of Islam is the moon god Allah. And that's why they constantly shout, you know, Allahu Akbar, because they are saying it's not anybody else's God. So, and yet the Catholic Church is trying to convince people that it is. That's false. They are now saying evolution doesn't conflict with the Bible when it blatantly does. They're now saying there can be intelligent life on other planets. Now, the Bible says that is not the case and they shouldn't be teaching that. Doesn't matter what their personal view is, the Bible does not teach that. And then, this one is amazing, the New World Order. When I was on the show last time, you asked me to read out a couple of quotes which would show that Rome is going down the New World Order road. Now, the first quote you thought was a bit weak, back around 1968. Mm. The second quote was more in 2007 or 8 or 9. But recently they've come out with the most amazing document calling for a new world order, calling for a world bank, calling for the dissolution of independent sovereign states. And if you want to check it up, it was published by the Vatican October 24th last by the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. And the title is Towards Reforming the International Financial and Monetary Systems in the Context of Global Public Authority.
Robert Pye is with us on Late Lunch this afternoon. We're talking about the turmoil in Ireland and the world and what's behind it and the new world order. Robert, I want to read some of the messages that are coming into us. Jerry, Robert is 100% right. George Bush did start this new world order and many of the wealthy people Robert speaks about are devil worshippers. You might laugh at Jim Corr, but there's certainly sense in what he says. He spoke the truth. And I want to say thanks to Robert from Joan RD. Jerry, this is a highly intelligent man you have on the show this afternoon who speaks so much sense. Those in authority should listen to him. Our government are interested only in themselves and lining their pockets. And Jerry, they're not puppets. Change the P at the start of puppets to an M, says another listener there this afternoon. I want to pick up, Robert, on a point you were finishing there before news when you read the different quotes to us there regarding Catholic Church. Firstly, the Catholic Church, I suppose, like any other body, has a conscience and has its right to have a say.
Oh, I've absolutely no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the generality of Catholics do not know where Rome is leading them. And if they did, they would be concerned.
Is Rome part of this?
Well, given the document they've just published, yes. Up to now, I wouldn't have had strong evidence or strong enough evidence. That document is a killer. Go in and look at it. It's available on the net. The Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, October 24th of last year. It's an eye-opener.
Okay, so people can go in and read that and make what they wish of it themselves. It's alarming to hear that, you know what I mean? That and the Pope and the Church would be, in your view, you know, part and parcel of this new world order.
Another way to look at it is they've taken it over. A small group of families have always run Rome. I have some information here about the actual families themselves that I might find it in a moment. But you have to bear in mind there is an elite in charge there. And the elite in charge there have power in terms of incredible wealth. So don't assume the people at the top in Rome are the same people that you find in the lower levels. I love the people in the Catholic Church. Most of my friends are Catholic. So that isn't any problem. What I'm saying, though, is Rome is going down the same road as Berlin, same road as London, same road as Washington. These people, IAs, they want a unified world. And in fact, if you go back and read papal encyclicals going back to about 1890, it's patently clear that they want a unified world system. And the latest paper says they want to get rid of what they call the Westphalian system. The Peace of Westphalia in 1648 enabled Germany and other nations to set themselves up as entities, self-governing entities, free of the power of Rome. And now they're saying in this new document that system has failed. We want to depart from that and go back to a place where nation states do not exist.
New World Order, another comment here. If you have a smartphone, you are being watched in everything you do. Robert has given me food for thought here, says another listener. Jerry, that man Robert is a breath of fresh air. He knows exactly what's planned for all of us by the CEOs of huge corporations who rule the world instead of governments. Just look at the bankers who broke the country. None of them have seen the inside of a courthouse and won't. Why is this? Have you commented on that for me?
Well, I have. When you're running the show, your guys don't get hit. Look at MF Global. That's a company that went bust recently in the States. The chap who's the head of it was a chap, John Corzine. Now, it's known they have stolen well over $1 billion. But Corzine, who appeared before a Congress committee, can just say, I don't know anything. They cannot be touched. Wall Street and Washington, the same people waltz back and forth between the two. Some of the top people running Europe are former Goldman Sachs people. The guy they put in the head of the ECB, Mario Draghi. Former Goldman Sachs. The guy, Mario Monti, who's now in charge of Italy. Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, very senior. The guy they have in charge in Greece, Papademos. Trilateral Commission, Knight of Malta. You know, it just goes on.
So these are agents of the small elite.
These are, and you know they are agents because they actually attend the committee, the Bilderberg Group meetings, the Trilateral Commission meetings, they show you who the elite agents are.
What do they want besides this unification of a one world order, one currency, maybe several units within the whole geographical setup, Robert? What do they want? What do they want for? What does the future hold for us here in Ireland, humankind? What do they want?
This is where you really have to think carefully. and I only found the answer in the Bible and worked back. They want to set up a system where there is a world government and their man is in charge. Now, this is where I get into a zone where some people will find it hard to follow me. But when the book of Revelations and also the Gospels of John or the letters of John speak about an Antichrist, they're speaking about an elite super being, right, who they think or believe has supernatural powers and is meant to reign on earth. That's what you're getting towards. And that person who emailed in and said these are devil worshippers, yeah, he's perfectly correct. These people worship the prince of this world. And I want to give you a very good example of this. We all know Bob Dylan. Been around for years. Highly revered person in the music scene. There's a clip on YouTube and you can go in and find it. It's very easy to find. Just type in Bob Dylan admits he sold his soul to the devil. Here's what happened. He was being interviewed and the interviewer says, why are you still out there doing these songs? Because it's getting on, you know. You are still on tour. And Dylan says, you know, I made a bargain with the... And he stopped. And then he went on, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end. Interviewer, what was your bargain? Dylan, to get where I am now. Interviewer, should I ask who you made the bargain with? Dylan said, you know, and he laughs, and then he says, with the chief commander. Interviewer, on this earth? Dylan, on this earth and in the world we can't see. Now that is there. Go in and look at it. And this is what these people do. They believe it. And look, at if you know anything about the Bible, there are people who do make a pact with this guy.
And the prophecies, should I say there, the prophecies of the Bible, you touch on this as well, biblical prophecies of what's happening now. Is it contained within that this would happen?
You really need to take the Bible literally, and that means going through it and reading it as an account of events after they've taken place, and you can see how they fit into place, and you can see how we're heading towards a time when the Lord has said all the way through the Bible, Jerusalem is mine, Israel is mine, and all the way through the occult, the thing is, this guy Satan is saying, no, Jerusalem is mine. And if you want to understand what's happening in the Middle East, that's how you understand it. We are moving into an era. Now, we've had intense anti-Semitism in the past, but that will be dwarfed by the anti-Semitism that is coming. And all the nations of the world are going to turn on Israel at some point. And they're heading towards that.
Is that this Arab Spring that's happening?
The Arab Spring is an organised event. The MI5, MI6, the CIA, they are funding the uprisings there. They did it in Libya, they did it in Tunisia, they did it in Egypt, Yemen. They're now working very hard on Syria. The ordinary people in Libya, they were the best of people in Africa. They did not want to have Gaddafi out. They had an excellent health service, educational service, businesses, roads, they could travel. They had a certain amount of freedom of speech. What have they now? What the West is trying to do is destabilize these nations and hand it over to radical Islam.
And that's what seems to be happening. After the uprising of the masses,
after the
vacuum allows these radicals. And was that the plan? Is that MI5 are planning?
That is, yeah, the British, Americans and some others, it would appear, are trying to destabilize North Africa and the Middle East and hand as much of it over as they can to Sunni Islam. It looks like they're going to use Sunni Islam to attack Shia Islam. Shia Islam is Iran and Syria. The Alawites, which is a sect of the Shia, run Syria. They've turned the rest of the Arab world against those two. And it looks as if you're going to have a war in the Middle East based pretty much around a polarization of the West plus the Sunnis versus the Shia. Then they will very likely try to create something akin to the caliphate, which existed for many hundreds of years under the Ottomans and was abolished around 1924. A caliph was the head of Islam, political and also religious. And it looks like they're heading towards that and to create a massive tension between East and West.
And can that result, you mentioned the Third World War, is that going to happen?
I'm certain we're heading into a third World War. When it'll happen, I just couldn't say. But they have a lot of flash points ready. They set Korea up years ago, and they've maintained that bizarre setup. North Korea, it's the most bizarre schizophrenic nation on earth. But it was set up years ago with a view to being a major flashpoint in Asia. America's made a treaty with Taiwan. If Taiwan is invaded by China, America goes in. So you can have a war with China. You know, they have the flashpoint. They have one. Take Pakistan. Now, Pakistan is, to be kind, it's a poor, backward country. And yet, 20 years ago, they developed nuclear devices. They are said to have over 200 of them now. And a missile delivery system. Now, this is a poor, backward country. How did they get it? How did they do it? The West gave it to them.
And this is all driven by this small little...
A small clique who want to set up a number of flashpoints around the world so that when they set them off, they can do it in the order that suits them, at the timing that suits them, to get the results that they want. It's the old order out of chaos principle that underpins the Masonic belief and the occult generally. They all think the world evolved. They all think order comes out of chaos. And if you want a new order, you must create chaos, but you must control the chaos.
How should people prepare before you leave us this afternoon? What can people do listening today? Like, you've made a lot of startling points once again, and a lot that seem to tie in. Like, I'm listening to you here, and there's a lot of merit in what you say. People will say, of course, you may be on the extreme and you're over the top of that, and they're entitled to feel that.
Sure,
as
that's
well.
Fine. Yeah.
But what should people do to get ready for what's coming?
Okay, well, first one, get right with the Lord, because if you don't have that, your moral compass doesn't work and you're at the mercy of these guys. Get your Bible out and read it as a literal document. Two, buy silver and gold. I really do recommend people...
Even though gold is
gold and silver are only half the price they would be if proper market forces were operating. Think of it as insurance. I'm asking you to buy insurance. Strenuously resist all attempts to sell state assets. This government are planning to sell off large chunks of our property at far sale prices to the elite who run Europe.
Hold on to them. Oppose this.
Oppose that. Absolutely oppose that. Oppose all attempts to give away Irish sovereignty. But, you know, what are people going to do? If you're not angry that this is happening, well, how will you oppose it? You must be angry about what's happening.
Could the property tax be a vehicle to this... opposition.
The property tax is a dangerous tax because up to now, the main way they've throttled people is through debt. Domestic debt, corporate debt, national debt. But there are a group of people out there in the middle classes who are not in debt and they want to get at them. They're starting with €100 tax now, but in a two or three years' time, you'll get a bill through the door for €2,000 or €3,000. They can take as much money off you as they like with this tax. It's to target people they've not been able to target through the debt mechanism.
So is this a way, a platform, if this got moving, that the Irish people could at last make their feelings known?
If it would stimulate people to realise what was actually happening. They are targeting sectors and they're targeting those who aren't in debt, and the property tax is the ideal way to do it. Start out at €100 and pretty soon €2,000, €3,000, €4,000. And who can pay it? They'll only be able to pay it by borrowing, and they're in debt.
Anything else?
I'd like to see somebody mount a legal challenge to the way this debt has been landed on the Irish people. That banking debt, the noose of banking debt has been taken off the bankers, taken off the bondholders, and tied around the necks of the Irish people. I'd love to see that challenged. I'd like to keep abortion out of Ireland. It's one great thing Ireland has done. It stood up to that appalling evil. Membership of secret societies by public servants and senior bankers should be illegal. The secret society system is the system that runs Ireland. I'd say support Israel. Now, that might seem to come out of the blue. But if you study the Bible, you'll see the Lord supports Israel. If you turn against this, you are going to get in the wrong camp. You know, in Genesis 12:3, it says, I bless those who bless Israel, I curse those who curse. And that is going to happen. So please pay heed. Be vocal in your condemnation of the evils in Irish society. In other words, stop being nice and start speaking out. Irish people are afraid to speak out against the evils. You must speak out. Maybe some of the things you speak out about are wrong, but if people remain silent, they will remain nice and they'll get trodden on. I'd like to see RTE returned to the people, where you could have a non-censored debate about what is going on. RTE is a highly censored medium. I'd like to see the Millennium Spire removed. That's a great symbol for the people who run Ireland. Obelisks, but the spire, that Millennium Spire is unique in the world. Take it down. It's filth. It's a shrine to Satan. I'd like to see the Criminal Justice Amendment Act of 2009 repealed. Under that, you can arrest anybody in Ireland on the say-so of a Garda of any rank and locked up for 7 days. No legal representation, no appeal to the courts.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. And in Europe, they're going to bring in a European gendarmerie with a European arrest warrant. And under that system, you'll basically have a European-wide police state. An arrest warrant will arrive for your arrest from Berlin. It'll say believed to be involved in terrorism and you will be whisked out. And you can't appeal to the Irish courts because it supersedes the powers of the Irish courts. That is coming. Please wake up. They need to pick up the people who are going to raise their voices in over the next three to five years. You're seeing a police state set up across Europe. Slowly coming down. You had the National Defence Authorization Act in the States there recently. Obama signed that. It designates North America, the USA, the mainland, as a war zone if the president decides to do so. So the military can pick up anybody, anywhere, anytime, detain them for as long as they want without charge, and they can even torture them. Now, that's staggering. The American people have not woken up to what is happening. They're bringing down the US also. Now, I can't say the rate at which this is happening, but it does seem to be happening at a much faster pace than people imagined 20 years ago.
Have you any hope?
Well, I have hope because I know in the end we win, but that's on a global end time scale. But if people do want to really feel that they are on solid ground, you must get back into a proper relationship with the being who made you, your creator. And if while people live in this appalling moral vacuum that they're in and allow their kids to study witchcraft, then you're going down. You're going down.
Robert Poy, thank you again for joining us. I have to say you're one of the most thought-provoking guests that I've ever encountered in my time here, and it really does give us food for thought. We have got lots and lots of messages through our Facebook page, through the phones, through the email today. I couldn't read them all, couldn't get them in support of what you're saying. People, thank you for, you know, broaching these issues on the airwaves today, and I thank you once more for taking time to join us on the show. And I just want to mention before Robert leaves us, he set a quiz. It's on our Facebook page. I'll extend the deadline to 5:30 this evening. There are 7 questions in there and they are thought-provoking in their own right. If you can take a chance to look at them and pop us through the answers by mail to latelunch@lmfm.ie, we'll pick a winner. We have a nice little prize for you as well. Robert Poy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Joining me in studio now this afternoon